I would like for you to make your way in your Bible to the 119th Psalm. Psalms 119. You know, it's the longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119. Oh, it's got 176 verses. We'll read them all. Not today, but you know, we'll read them all. Today I would like for you to draw your attention to one specific verse, and that is verse 165. A verse long, long ago I committed to memory because Lord knows how bad I needed it through the years. Had to remind myself of it many, many times. Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace. Great peace. How much peace? Great peace have they which love thy law. What is his law? His word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and everything shall offend them. Jesse said April Fool was yesterday. So, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. They will not be offended. Who will not be offended? Those who love the word of God, they will have great peace. Last week we had a lady in the church, first time she's ever been here, but she said, I've listened to you on the radio for years and years and years, and it was her first opportunity to ever come and worship with us. And she said, Brother Rusty, years ago you preached a message from Psalms 119, verse 165, about not being offended. And she said, I can't tell you how much that message has helped me through the years. In her life, I guess work, church, everything else, but she said it helped me so much through the years. So I thought, you know, I'm going to preach that verse again. That nothing shall offend them. What does it mean to offend? Well, it means to cause to stumble, to cause to fall, to take offense, to take hurt, to be wounded. And you know, those things can happen by an event, a circumstance in someone's life. It can hurt them. It can offend them and cause to stumble. Something happens, some terrible circumstance. How many people have fallen because some event happened in their life that they think, well, God wasn't faithful. God didn't answer my prayer. My loved one died. Many times that has caused someone to stumble. How many times has a bad example from another Christian caused someone to stumble? You remember years ago, perhaps, when some of these famous preachers started falling like dominoes, and it caused so many to just throw up their hands and give up, walk away from church, walk away from the faith. And still today, there's still people in leadership who giving up, falling away, abandoning the faith and going to some modern progressive form of Christianity, or some going into atheism and unbelief. Will you allow the example of another to cause you to stumble? Will you allow an event, a circumstance, something that happens in your life to cause you to fall away? Not if your heart is attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a lover of His Word, you will continue to have great peace even if others are falling away, even if others are stumbling. Great peace. Now, if I was to ask you honestly, verse 165, those first two words, great peace, does that describe you? Does it describe you today? Does it describe you right now? Great peace. The Hebrew word great just means exactly that. Great, exceeding, abundant, multiplied, multiplied peace. Peace in their heart, no matter what the circumstances are, peace. No matter what's happening in the economy, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what the Fed is doing, no matter what the president says, great, great peace have they, and I would interject here, they alone, great peace have they alone who love thy word. Because if you love the word of God, it's because you believe it is exactly that, the word of God. You believe the word of God. You stand on the word of God. You stand on the promises of God. You are not affected by your circumstances. Amen. You are not affected by your circumstances. Amen. Doesn't cause you to waver one iota from the faith. Amen. Because your faith is not in what's happening in the world. Your faith is in the word of God, which promises keep to keep us, protect us, preserve us, save us, fill us with his presence, guide us, direct us, heal us, deliver us, save our family, save our loved ones. No matter what's going on in the world, great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing and no one, no one shall offend them. Not even a rude brother or sister. Not even somebody who takes advantage of your inheritance. Not even somebody at work who is always, always denigrating you, talking down to you like you're some beneath them, you know. That never happens to anybody, I'm sure. But how many times do you think you could take offense in this world, living in this world? Daily? Daily? I was going to call my message today, Nothing Shall Offend Them. That's what I was going to call it. But Glenn said, you preached a message like that, with that same title. So I had to change the title of my message. The title of my message is The Thick-Headed and the Thin-Skinned. And everybody in between. Because there are the thick-headed and there are the thin-skinned, and then there's everybody who's in between. Nothing shall offend, cause them to stumble. I'm not talking either about, you know, falling over a rug, tripping in your house physically, tripping down the stairs. I'm not talking about that kind of stumbling, although that happens. It's not good for you to fall. Not in a physical sense. Sister Connie just had to have a MRI because she fell. Her hit the wall, her head went through the wall. Now he's got to have the wall repaired. And she's suffering the consequences of the fall, praying for healing. Kathy fell not long ago. You know, I have an annual doctor's appointment when you get over 65. You know, the insurance requires this. So Here, the first thing they ask, the very first thing, you sit down, they come in to talk to you, the first thing they say, have you fallen? That's what they want to know, have you fallen? Because if you fall, falling is bad. Stumbling is bad. And not just physically, But stumbling is bad spiritually as well. You don't want to fall. You don't want to stumble. You don't want to let anything cause you to stumble. I remember when I was young, I wanted to fall. I mean, we rode bikes. You crashed into things. You fell. You scraped up your knees, your elbows. Nobody wore a helmet. Nobody had a whole lot of sense in those days either. But we would shake it off, you know, face bloody and scuffed or whatever. But people fell. And we were boys. So you play baseball. You run into people. You slide in. Would you think about doing that today? I mean, me? No, some of you young guys, yeah, that's still fun. Yeah. Your bodies are still, well, resilient.
Right. Good word. Amen.
But today, falling is not a good thing.
Amen.
So, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day. How many of you ever got called names when you were a kid, or even now people call you names?
Yep.
Oh, everybody called everybody names.
Yep.
This isn't anything new. Everybody called people names. If you got up to bat, oh my goodness, you got so heckled by the other team, they called you every kind of name, and they called your mama names. This is what they did. And the whole idea was to get you so flustered, you wouldn't be able to hit the ball. You wouldn't be able to do anything. Everybody called everybody names. That's what people did. Nowadays, if somebody gets called a name, they call the police. They call the police. They called me a name. And, you know, the sad thing is the police might arrest you. Because maybe you committed a terrible offense. Like maybe you misgendered them. You misgendered them. Because the guy dresses like a girl and changed his name to a girl's name. And if you call them by their actual name, you know what they call that? You dead-named me. You dead-named me, because that's not my name anymore. I used to be Fred. But now I'm Freuder. But whatever, you know, I'm something else now. So, and if you call me Fred, you dead-named me, and you must be destroyed. You must be punished for doing that. You think I'm kidding?
No.
Teachers across the country have been reprimanded, warned, cautioned that they must not misgender a person. If they claim they're a woman or a girl, or if they want to be called, I don't know, they or them instead of he or him or she or her, the world's gone crazy, you know. And they wear their feelings on their sleeves so that they are so easily offended. So easily offended. In fact, this generation has been called the most offended generation in history. The most offended generation in history. 10 years ago, the cover of Time magazine had a picture on it of a young girl taking a selfie. She's got a camera. She's taking a selfie. This is the cover of Time magazine 10 years ago. And the title of the headline, The Me, Me, Me Generation. The Me, Me, Me Generation. And underneath that, it referred to the generation as entitled, lazy, and narcissistic. And since then, things have gotten so much better.
I mean,
yeah. That the land of unreality. Huh? Since then, it's become worse. It's become so much worse. This woke generation now, the woke generation, are offended by everything. They are obsessed with themselves, obsessed with trying to obtain some kind of fame or notoriety. They all want to be influencers of some kind. They are obsessed about what other people think of them. They want to be liked. Who doesn't want to be liked? I mean, who would say, I don't want nobody to like me? No, everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be, you know, appreciated or applauded or whatever. But this generation, their opinion of themselves is so fragile. And excuse me, because I'm not talking about everybody in this generation. I'm just talking about some, particularly the woke crowd, the woke crowd. Their opinion of themselves is so fragile that they've been referred to as snowflakes. A snowflake is a beautiful thing, but being referred to as a snowflake is not a compliment. A snowflake is unique. There's no two snowflakes are alike. Beautiful thing. But here's the thing about a snowflake. You can't touch it. It'll be destroyed if you touch it. And that's why they call them snowflakes, because they're so fragile. The least little thing will offend them. Again, misgender them, call them by a dead name. I was reading an article to Diane just this past week about a young man who now calls himself a girl, did good in school, but will not graduate on the stage because he was so traumatized at school because people kept deadnaming him, calling him by his actual name instead of the new name that he chose for himself. It's so sad. He's so damaged, so frail, so wounded, so traumatized by what? And when they're offended, they want the one who offended them to be canceled. I mean, they want them punished. They want teachers fired. Let me tell you something about this woke, whole woke thing. There is no forgiveness in it. There is no forgiveness whatsoever in the woke culture. Every offender must be severely punished. Now, in the world, you know, the world is crazy, so they do crazy things. But when this woke culture or thin-skinnedness, I don't know if that's a word, but sounds good. Today it's a word, yeah. When that enters into the church, where Christians become very thin-skinned, and Christians start getting offended about every little thing and make a great big thing out of almost nothing, then that's concerning. That's actually very concerning. I read something Perry Stone said just recently. He's the guy, he's been on TV a long time. He does a lot of prophecy stuff, a lot of Israel, a lot of talk about Israel, but he said something that I actually liked the other day. He said, we are now seeing the end time signs Jesus warned about in Matthew 24 with the increase in earthquakes. And you know, earthquakes, the signs in the heavens and the wars, famines, rumors of wars and so forth. He said, we're seeing this increase in earthquakes, etc., but Jesus included another often overlooked warning, indicating that a spirit of offense would be everywhere. Coinciding with the timing of the gospel being preached around the world, which without doubt is this present time. In Matthew 24, verses 10 and 12, and many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, And because evil shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. He went on and said, in his 40 years of ministry, he has never observed such an unleashing of a spirit of offense. A spirit of offense. I have to admit, I agree with him, that there is a spirit of offense run loose in the world and doing its best to infiltrate the church. This spirit of offense, I believe, is real, and I believe it's demonic. I believe it's demonic because the whole intent is to cause offendedness, offense, disruption, and so forth. It, of course, in the world, let me tell you what it's doing in the world, the spirit of offense. It wants to silence the voice of the church. The spirit of offense wants to silence the voice of Christians. And you know how it's doing that? By labeling anything offensive, anything that does not endorse, approve, and applaud their beliefs, lifestyle, or whatever. They get offended if you disagree with them. They label it hate speech. And hate speech, believe it or not, some guy had to be from California, unless he was from New York, introduce legislation that would make hate speech a federal crime. We pray that that legislation doesn't see the light of day or never makes it any further than what it is right now. But look, this, they could silence the church just by saying, that's hate speech. Your Bible is hate speech. Well, I do believe this same spirit of offense, I see it like a big, dark, evil bird, big, dark vulture. This spirit of offense, hey, it's got the world so thin-skinned, but that thing wants to perch on your shoulder. It wants to perch on your shoulder, and it wants to whisper in your ear. Because the intent of the devil is to offend, to cause to stumble. Remember, he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. So, you have interactions, every one of you, at work, if you do work, or, you know, some people are retired, some don't, but at school, classrooms, teachers, in your neighborhood, whatever your associations are, family, everybody's got family, and family never offends. That never, ever, never happens. No. Business. And even at church, that spirit of offense wants to offend you, wants you thin-skinned. You know what happens when you get older? They say your skin gets thinner. It bruises easier. But it should be the opposite for Christians who are getting older in the Lord. Because as we grow older, more mature in the Lord, we should be more mature. So that when if somebody says something insulting or offensive, we can overlook it, overcome it, pray for them, bless them, smile. But we could do that, or not. We could do something else. But isn't it interesting? Because I remember as a young Christian, full of zeal and fervor and fire, people said terrible things to us. And it was water off a duck's back. What happened as we get older as Christians, we get more thin-skinned or what? If you're going to be thin-skinned, never serve in any ministry capacity whatsoever. Right. Never. Never, never. Never volunteer, never be recruited. And for By no means should you get behind a pulpit. Stand behind a pulpit, you become a target. I can remember people saying terrible things. I'm new in the ministry. People saying, that's a cult over there. Those people are cults. They don't love Santa Claus. They Jehovah Witnesses. They don't love the Easter Bunny either. So they're a big cult. I say, well, they call me a Jehovah Witness. I say, you do? You love the Easter Bunny? You love the Christmas tree and the Santa Claus? Then you a Mormon. Call me a Jehovah Witness, I call you a Mormon. I should be kinder than that. I remember we had a lady that would tell everybody I was in a bar. She saw me in a bar all the time. And, they actually had a bar around the corner from my church, not even a block away, called Tardo's Bar.
That's right.
So she must have been a frequenter of that establishment and mistaken me for the other Tardo that, as far as I know, I never met, but... And years ago, you know, I wrote a track about Halloween, okay? It was the first track I ever wrote about Halloween's demonic origins and how it has its origin in witchcraft and that the Christian, what are Christians doing dressing up like devils and demons and all of that? But back then, I mean, I'm going back to 1987. I think that's when I wrote that track. 1987, all the churches around us had huge Halloween parties. And in one of them, in one of the churches, a big Assembly of God church, the pastor would dress up every Halloween like Dracula. So he would be Dracula. He'd greet everybody when they would all come in, you know, big Halloween party. And, you know, I got so tired of telling people why we don't do that, that I finally just said, you know, I'm going to put it on paper. I'm going to put out a track, and that way I can just hand them the track. This is, so here, read this. Just read this. So then a guy on the radio started preaching about the crazy preacher down in St. Bernard, who's preaching against Halloween. Of all things, you're going to preach against this children's holiday. It's so wholesome and everybody loves it. And he was ranting and railing, and a friend of mine called me up, a pastor friend of mine, he called me up. He said, have you heard what this guy's saying on the radio about you? I said, no. He said, well, he's saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. He said, I think you ought to call him up right now and straighten him out. I said, I'm not calling him. If I started tracking down everybody who criticized me, I'd never stop. That's all I'd be doing. So I'm not calling him. So my daughter called him. I was trying to be an overcomer in all of this, you know. But everybody gets criticized. Y'all awake? Okay, I want you to say this and understand it. I want you to say, I will be criticized. Expect it. Don't be shocked when I will be criticized. What are you going to do when it happens? Track them down. You could track them down. Or you could be an overcomer. You could be an overcomer. I want to mention just a few quick things today about this whole spirit of offense. The first thing I want to tell you is this. Number one, this whole I am offended thing. I am offended. This whole thing is all about self. It's all about self.
You're right.
It's all about self.
Amen.
It's about me, my wounds, my feelings, my hurt. I'm offended. I wouldn't want to minimize anybody's pain because, look, people cause pain. They can cause you pain. They can cause you hurt. You can't control what they do, but you can control your response. What will you do? What will you do? Will you overcome? Will you die to this flesh? Will you crucify this flesh? Jesus said we have to say no to self. Luke 9:23, if any man or woman would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily, because we have to die daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. They offended you. They were mean to you. They insulted you. They said something to you that was unkind. I can't imagine the Lord saying, let me pull this nail out of my hand so I can come down here and pat you on the back. Let me take this bloody crown off of my head so I can come pat you on the head. You poor thing. It's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about my pride, my ego. Or let's tell the Apostle Paul how mean that person was to us. Paul, you know, who everybody loved. Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I was in labors more abundant, in stripes being beaten more times than I can remember, in prisons more frequently, in danger of death often. From the Jews, 5 times I was beaten 39 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep, in journeys often, in weariness, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. He said, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, and besides all these other things, the burden that I have of the church. And then he says these words. I want you to listen to these words. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? Who is made to stumble? Let me put this in my own paraphrase. All that I have experienced as a Christian, you have experienced none of it. And yet you are the one offended. So until they're driving nails in your hands, or beating you with whips and rods, or throwing stones at you like they did with Stephen, you recognize that this offense thing, that I'm wounded, I'm hurt, I'm so offended, it's all about the self. And that self, Jesus said, has to go to the cross. Every day that self has to die. Every day that self has to be crucified. And look, this is at home. This is with family. This is at work. This is in church. This is in your everyday life. Husbands and wives need to remember it, because sometimes the wife might say something that's injurious to the husband, because it's never the other way around. Or maybe it is. A husband could say something injurious to the wife. Now, you have a choice. You can respond in kind, or you can die to that flesh, that self. Because, hey, nobody can hurt you like your family can hurt you. Nobody can hurt you like family. They know you the best. You love them the most. They can hurt you the most. So, you know, rejection, offenses, unkind words, uncharitable words, mean-spirited, hasty, cruel words, boy, it can hurt. What will you do with them? It's about the self. So the self goes to the cross, and we remember the example of our Savior.
Amen.
Brings me to the second thing I want to say. Being offended is a choice.
Amen.
It's a choice. It's 100% entirely a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's a choice you make. You can choose to be offended, or you can choose not to. Again, you cannot control what other people say and do, but you can control your response to it. There are other choices you could make. Like, you could choose to follow the words of Christ. Matthew chapter 5. There's this tough little verse all the way down in verse 44. Bless them that curse you. Love your enemies. Sometimes those enemies seem to be right in your own family or amongst people you love. Do good to them that hate you. That man hates me. Do good to him. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. See, we could choose to be offended, or we could choose to follow the word of God. Great peace have they. Great peace have they which love thy word. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. We could also choose, thirdly, to forgive them.
Amen.
That's a choice too, you know.
You're right.
Forgiveness is a choice. Don't ever forget that. Forgiveness is a choice. We think of it as an emotion.
Amen.
We think of it as a feeling. I just don't feel. If you wait for your feelings to get in line with what's right. Yeah. You know, you don't feel like getting up out of bed to go to work, but you do. You overcome your feelings and you do what you have to do. I'm sure these young people don't feel like getting up and going to class and sitting through another lecture or whatever. But, you know, if your goal is to get to the other side of this, you do what you have to do. Well, our goal as a Christian is to get to the other side victoriously so that we overcome and are not overcome by this world. So you can choose to be offended, nurture your wounds, coddle them, feel sorry for yourself, and let these hurts, wounds, offenses overwhelm you. Or you can forgive. You can forgive from your heart.
Amen.
Anyone who has offended you.
Amen.
In fact, the Lord says if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. I mean, he says this so many times that I think we should take notice of it.
Amen.
He said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Matthew, just listen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Luke 6:37, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Look, we got to let things go.
Amen.
Hurts, wounds,
Amen.
Grudges, offenses, whatever those things, let it go. It's self. It's a choice. Choose instead to forgive. Let it go. And don't talk about it to others. Somebody hurts you, don't make it somebody else's problem. Don't carry that hurt or that burden elsewhere. Just let it go. Then I want to bring up a fourth thing. Very important. Very important. We are all guilty of offending. Do not point the finger at somebody else and say, I hope that man is listening to what the pastor say. I hope this man is listening to what the pastor is saying. We are all guilty. According to the Bible, we all offend. Did you know the Bible says that? James chapter 3. You got a couple minutes more? Turn with me to James 3. James chapter 3. This is a verse. Well, let's just say it's a passage we should read on a regular basis because it deals with the most offensive thing in the world, our tongue. The most offensive thing in all the world, the tongue. Verse 2, I'm in James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things, in so many ways, we offend all. Or, as it would read in other versions, we all offend. In many ways, we all offend. That means we're all guilty.
Amen.
We have offended others.
Amen.
Sometimes intentionally. Sometimes unintentionally. But we're all guilty. What should we do if we offend someone? Apologize. Ask them to forgive us.
Right.
Admit our fault. And ask the Lord to forgive us too. Even if we've done so unintentionally. I know I've offended people unintentionally. But I'm still not perfect.
Amen.
If anybody knows, Sister Diane would know. In many things, in many ways, we all offend. Now notice this. If any man or woman offend not in word, that is, if your mouth doesn't cause the problem, that same one is a perfect man, that is mature, a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Did you know the Bible says if you can control your mouth, you are a mature Christian? Because the immature, they can't stop that mouth from rattling. You can have 20 years of Christianity under your belt and still be an immature believer. Because the mouth, that's the gauge, you know. That's the gauge. One version translates this verse. All of us make a lot of mistakes. If someone doesn't make any mistakes when he speaks, he would be perfect. He would be able to control everything he does. Well, when we offend others, when we offend, it's usually because of this mouth.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. And you know why we do it? We do it because we speak without thinking. Because we speak rashly. And when we speak rashly, we usually speak harshly. And we speak sometimes, and we don't think about how our words are going to be received, perceived. We don't think about how our words are going to affect the ones we're speaking to, because we don't think thick-headed. See, we're talking about the thick-headed and the thin-skinned and everybody in between. We don't want to be either one. I don't want to be thick-headed, but sometimes I don't want to be thin-skinned. But sometimes we have to ask the Lord to help us and overcome and keep our mouths shut and get control of our mouths. In James 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and this man's religion is vain. That is, it's empty. I do have one last point I want to make, and that is we can, by the grace of God, do better.
Yes.
We can do better. We can overcome. Amen. We can. We've got everything, all the equipment we need to do better. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God in me than even this flesh. The Holy Spirit within me can help me to overcome this flesh, to help me overcome my pride, my wounded ego, help me to overcome this offense. Y'all awake?
Yes.
I want to also read 1 Peter 4:8, which says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover the multitude of sins.
Amen.
Love will cover the multitude of sins. Or the way I like to paraphrase it, love overlooks each other's many faults.
Amen.
Love overlooks each other's
Amen.
Many faults. That's what love does. And we all have them, you know. We all have them. So if we love each other, then we love each other.
You're right.
You love those sometimes who are prickly like a porcupine, you know. They're hard to cuddle, but you love them anyway. if we can't overcome each other, family members, people at work, if we can't overcome this, what did the Lord tell Jeremiah, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? If we can't overcome these little trials, what will we do when the real offenses come? Because the Bible says in the last days, the offenses will be so great that multitudes will fall away. Many shall be offended, and the love of many will grow cold. It's a dangerous thing to stumble. It's a dangerous thing to fall. And let me conclude with this one thought. If you fell down, if you've stumbled and fallen, what's the most important thing you want to do? You want to get up. You want to get up. You want to stand. You want to walk. You want to carry on, right? Well, spiritually, the same thing is true. If someone has caused you to stumble, or something has caused you to stumble, whatever it is, whatever the source, the most important thing for you to do, forgive them, get up, carry on.
Amen.
Take up that cross. Be an overcomer. Don't be overcome. Father, we pray this morning for your grace upon all of us in an age, in a generation, in an offended generation. Help us to be overcomers. Remind us, Lord, that we are your people, your sheep. We're to look to you, to follow your example. Your example. You prayed for those who nailed you to the cross. Lord, help us to pray for one another, love one another, forgive one another, overcome, and set a watch, O Lord, upon our mouths and upon our lips, so that we offend not in word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.